Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners regular meeting for Monday, July 27th at 9 a.m. is called to order. We'll now stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the secretary please take the roll?
Mr. Pinkley.
Yes.
Mr. Brown.
Here.
Mr. Reagan, absent. Mr. Rutherford.
Here.
Mr. Smith, here.
I declare that we have quorum. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion. We all second it.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The agenda has been approved. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes for the special meeting that was held on June 22nd, 2026, and the regular meeting that was held on June 24th, 2026?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the minutes for the special meeting on 6/22/26 is approved, as well as the regular meeting on 6/24/26. Do we have any ceremonial items?
Not that we can discuss publicly, but
okay.
I'm hoping that you're working on it.
Yep. Any announcements? And Rich is not in today. Rich is on vacation, so we don't have any district manager comments. And then I'll open it up to public comments. I looked at the sheet. Nobody has any specific public comments at this time. Okay, so there's no comments from the public at this point. First action item, new business. Receive and approve the June 2026 financials. Do I have a motion to receive and approve the June 2026 financials?
I'll make that motion. To receive.
To receive? Okay.
I'll second.
It's been moved to second. Any discussion? I have some discussion. During our workshop when we went through the entire budget, one of the items that was brought to our attention was a software error that is up on the screen for the 18-hole pro golf shop, where all the green fees are being put into all the activity card costs, the individual and family are all being dumped into the green fees in the POS system. There is a disconnect somewhere after Mark, our superintendent, puts the fees into the right categories. If you look at it, they go into the back end, they're in the right buckets. So we have it historically right, but the report, there's a glitch somewhere in the reporting from the department head to the report out. Deb is working on it with the software developer. She thinks they may have figured out where it happened. However, they got to test it this week to make sure it's reported. So my recommendation is that we not vote on the financials. We table the financials for this month. Pending any other questions that the board has on these financials, since we don't have that fixed, I'm hesitant to approve them until we have the entire report correct.
Are you making that a motion then?
Well, I want to see before I do that motion, I want to make sure that there may be other comments that you want to bring up now that we would want to address.
Well, my question is the accountant Jennifer going to put in our spreadsheets what we asked for during the workshop?
An example was
the line item for tournaments. Mm-hmm.
I don't have an answer back. I personally don't have an answer back from Rich yet. I knew it wasn't going to get to the June, but I don't know if it was going to be there for the July.
Okay, because there are several things we discussed in the workshop.
The alcohol line item for breaking out the alcohol, beer, wine sales specifically,
correct,
because they're all taxed differently, as an example. So there is a list.
Well, right now, we have no way of knowing if the bar up there is making a profit or not.
Same, and that's kind of where the issue is. This is a different issue. This is a software.
I know.
Yeah, but those are adding into the software, those specific line operating. I don't know how long that takes to
Well, and I have a question regarding what you're saying. Will it change the dollar amount?
No, the dollar amounts are rolling up.
Correct. It's just not separated out. Okay.
And that was part of what the software people said is, even if we fix it, it would be, for the rest of the year, it would be going forward in the right buckets. But they couldn't go back to the previous ones and fix the reporting out.
Well, that's fine.
It's like going forward. We've addressed it. We need it fixed. So I don't want to approve this until we get it fixed.
That's agree.
Okay. So to answer your question, I don't know, but that's one of the things that we have on, and April's taking some notes for Rich when he gets back. I'll talk to Rich because we have between now and our August meeting, regular meeting, to see if we can get those line items in there as well. So that,
well, that's a month.
Yeah, exactly. That's why. But I didn't think we would get it from last workshop to our financials for this one.
Yeah, I guess it's.
I mean, that's,
it's only been a week, it's too short a time to correct the stuff that's wrong.
But now maybe it can get corrected in addition to the software glitch that hopefully is fixed. That Deb's working on testing it this week.
I'll make a motion that we postpone it for a month until it's done.
So it's been moved and it's been moved second. All in favor of tabling our June 2026 financials?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? No opposed. So we'll take the June financials have been tabled. Next item of business: discuss the sale of the fire truck. And for the record, this is we got our chief here, so I'll bring him up to the podium. But that we talked about this last week in our workshop. This is a 1985 broken
Grumman 75 foot that's got a big crack in the spindle. It hasn't been used since I've been here.
We don't own it. We don't have a title on it. We don't have.
I wasn't able to find a title or anything. So that's why it's still sitting there. That's why it never went on blue.
Blue wave. Purple wave.
Yeah, it can't go on purple wave without title.
Can we just go get a quick claim deed then?
It's not, there's been an offer on it for $2,500. It's probably, I'm not sure if it's even worth that.
This is what we talked about. So it's the 19, where is it at right now?
It's sitting down at the high-speed fueling station, down in the Warren Department.
And they'll take it without a title?
This company will. They can buy it, give a receipt for it, then they can do a lost title on it themselves in Missouri.
Like I said, we can get a title from that. You can have that done, ain't you? It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, does the title, having the title or not having it, is that affecting the price?
No, it won't affect the price.
$2,500.
Yeah, they're going to jump start it to get it going, and then you might get the upgraders out of one that's been.
And the only place we've advertised it is on Purple Wave?
Well, we couldn't advertise it because we didn't have a title.
Yeah.
Now, why?
I see cars for sale all the time without a title. Bring a trailer, and you do your own title search. I mean, there's cars stolen, there's titles replaced all the time. I send the state police out, they verify the.
$2,500
for a fire truck. We're talking about selling one for $2,500, buying one for $450,000.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know.
Yeah,
we talked about it last week.
I would imagine you could sell parts off $2,500.
Well, scrap steel's worth something.
Yeah.
But do you want to do some more research? I mean, who's offered it?
It was a place up in around Shelmel, Missouri. They buy used fire trucks. I mean, I was told that there was a gentleman up there who was buying white. Barnett said there was a guy up there that's interested in buying for $2,500. We wouldn't even have to come up with the title. He would just give us the money and come down and get it himself. Get it working in.
We can do some more research and just see. But you said, it could be jump-started. When's the last time it actually was ever turned over?
I know it was started last year for sure. Because I remember that Gary and Lenora, there was a thing that night, one of the other gentlemen was down there restarting it. And it will restart, but like I said, I haven't seen anything.
Maybe we could use it as a tank.
Two tanks too small. It's only about a 500-gallon tank.
I guess my question is it really worth? Because somebody offers this one, I'll offer you $50 for it. Does that mean it's worth $50?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to know what the true value is. And because somebody in Shell Knob offered $2,500.
So if we had the title to that point, so if we got the title ourselves, whatever the process is to even go through and get it a title.
Right.
How much would it be worth at that point? Because if it does turn over, you said.
I am. It's probably me. I turned mine off. Not sure what. I may have broken.
Okay.
But I don't know what it's really worth. I mean, I'm seeing trucks selling it right now, but with a broken spindle on it, like I say, it's not going to be able to be used anymore. It has to replace. It's going to cost more to replace that ladder on the thing than it is. For the whole truck.
How much did it cost to replace that ladder?
We're probably talking over $150,000 to replace the ladder by itself. It's not even worth that.
Well, let's do a little bit more research. I recommend, I'm afraid to turn this.
No, go ahead, I think it's fine.
I'm afraid to just, to Commissioner Rouse, you know, point. We're just saying we're selling this pretty willy-nilly without a lot of more due diligence.
Right, well, it was brought to me. I had no idea what was even going on. I guess someone brought up the Rich from Mike. Mike said he had somebody that would just offer money up just to get it out of the way.
I agree with getting rid of it if it's just sitting there, especially just...
It's been sitting there for over 3 years.
But the fact that you did say it did turn over once last year, I mean, that says something already.
It'll just take a little bit of
start. What is it really worth?
Your guess is mine on that one.
But I think some more research. But if we had the title and we put it on Purple Wave, well, that would be the next place that we do all of our equipment is on Purple Wave.
Right.
We could put it on Purple Wave and then see what we get.
I think the problem was getting the title. I don't remember who was doing that. I know I was involved. I remember hearing about it the last couple of years through Gary. And there was some reason, there was no reason, no way they could find the title. I'm not sure what the whole problem was. Like I say, I'm kind of... in position you guys are. I don't.
Well, it's not a rush, so
no.
So let's just go ahead and do some research, see the cost of what it would take to.
If we can get more money out of it, and we can sell it, and
yeah.
Sell one of the other trucks for what money we need, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when we're in the hunt for a $450,000 fire truck, we don't give away what we have for $2,500.
Well,
not knowing what it's worth. It might be worth $8,000. I don't know.
Well, I agree.
Yeah. So let's just move forward with.
Well, that's the biggest line I've ever heard about. Well, that's the reason we got to sell it for $2,500. Titles are lost daily.
Well, that's my point. I agree. Why don't we just like the title and get it?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
obviously, it's not stolen, and the state police will come out and they'll put acid on the VIN number, make sure that they match, and that's it. They issue a duplicate title.
So, do I have a motion that we can table this for further? Further research?
Yes.
I mean, I can start looking around and seeing what the prices are on some, but like I say, getting that low, but I'm not sure, like I say, with title, it's going to be, I agree with you, it's going to be worth more of a title.
Right.
But.
Let's try. I'm
up for whatever you guys want to do. That's fine, because I'd say I'm kind of lost right now, because I don't know what the reason was. I just know that there was a title not found over the last 2 years, and this is what.
So I think that the looking for the title needs to cease. We need to go with that the title has been lost, and we need a duplicate.
Oh, I agree.
And we need to contact the state of Arkansas and figure out what we have to do that.
Yeah, this is good stewardship. This is the way to go forward. So let's.
Oh, I agree.
So okay, so it's been moved and seconded to table this sale of this any further research. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the sale of the 1985-ish fire truck is on.
That's fine. I can start with some more information by the next meeting.
All right.
Okay. All right. I'm sure this guy is going to try to fix it up and sell it. He could sell it to some of the rural fire departments like up in Nebraska when they just have, you know, the fire.
Until they really fix that ladder, you can't.
And it's just where they have another extra truck.
Well, that's the thing is, with the truck with the broken spindle on it, like say, with the at least a minimum of $150,000, replace that ladder. Well,
man, they wouldn't probably use a ladder on those guys.
The only problem is it's only 500 gallon, and the GPM doesn't match what ISO expects anymore. It doesn't really match across the board. Mm-hmm. They probably do it, resell it, somebody could use it for a museum piece. Maybe.
Whatever, we find out.
Okay.
All right, we'll do.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yep. All right. Any other public comments? Here, I'm afraid to go back.
You want a dollar bill? Mike?
Here's to it.
Try and turn it on, Ken, because we need it for the recording.
Ken Brown, I told Chair I didn't comment on, but fire trucks is one. I was on the board for 8.5 years, and I guess the two most disappointing things that happened during those 8.5 years for me were the two lawsuits, and there's nothing I could do about that. But the other thing was buying and selling fire equipment. We sent two people out to California, a mechanic and driver.
I don't know what it is.
I got pretty much. We sent a mechanic and a driver out to California, paid airfare, paid motel, paid all the expenses, and he bought a fire truck. Came back here to Holiday Island, guess what? Wouldn't go up the hills properly. It looked like it could. Everybody said, yeah, it's a 450 or whatever. Those of you folks who know motors. And it wouldn't go up our steep hill. I think we bought another one from Illinois or Kansas, where the roads are flat. Bring it back here, we have trouble with our hilly terrain. The other thing is, when we go to buy a fire truck, is there anything like Carfax? And we have a car expert over here, Alan. But when you buy a used car, if it's been injured, damaged, we have Carfax. It says, yeah, it was totaled or it was $8,000 damaged. Is there anything, I meant to ask Chief before that, is there anything like that for fire equipment? Now, we get these things, we're paying close to $500,000, and then they're just not working out for us. Is there a company, maybe some of the fire companies that build fire trucks, do they have any way of evaluating fire trucks to see if they're of value to us? You know what I mean? It just seems like we're spending a lot of money on used equipment that really, we don't know if it's going to last even a year. But I don't know any answer to it, but I'm wondering if, Doug, if you knew from your fire experience or other.
Well, I think there probably is. You could have them check to, you'd have to call different fire people that make fire trucks, like Snyder in Nebraska. I mean, they sell trucks all over the United States. They're one of the biggest they make the fire trucks. They buy the bodies and make the trucks right there.
Yeah.
A guy could maybe call them and find out. Maybe I'll try to get that done and see if I can call them and find out if we could check to see if there's what's going on with it. And if, you know, if they have a used truck there, they might be able to trade in this old one. And who knows? I'll check it out.
I guess the last thing, Mr. Chair, is the fire chiefs that have been here over the last 3 or 4 years, it seems like the board has purchased a whole bunch of equipment and fire apparatus and safety equipment, and a lot of it was in the back room. Nobody knew it was there. So it seems like if we have computers and we have inventory, we can do this. I mean, I'm not a computer expert, but you can keep very good inventory, and we shouldn't be buying the things that were misplaced, put in the back room, maybe missing for other reasons.
Yeah,
I think he addressed that last time.
Yeah, we had actually brought up that topic last week during the fire department reviews of working on getting a detailed inventory.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to respond to what Ken said about the fire trucks. Being a pilot, no, different airplane. It's very common to go buy a plane. You pay to have what's called a pre-buy inspection. They literally tear the plane down, put it back together, and tell you about everything that you want to buy. We sent a fireman and a mechanic. I don't know who the mechanic was. But first off, airlines don't let pilots go buy airplanes. Okay? Our mistake is we're sending firemen to go buy trucks they don't know enough about. They're educated in a lot of things, and they're trained very well, but buying fire trucks is not one of them. And we've made 3 mistakes in the last 4 years, totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then we lose money because we made a mistake and we're selling it for
$0.65 on the dollar. And now we got one they want to sell for $2,500, have no idea what it's worth. Have no idea that that spindle and ladder cost $150,000. I want to see something in writing. Show me it's $150,000. And it's not $28,000 to fix that ladder. I don't know how much it is. All I ever hear are just comments about stuff with no documentation whatsoever. And then the last meeting, I hear the fire chief wants to buy a new truck with a bigger cab that holds more drivers, okay? I talked to Jack Deaton, he was the chief here for years. He bought the only truck we still have that's the right truck. It holds two people. And I asked Jack about this, why do we need four or five people to be able to, he said, never are there more than two people in the fire truck. Guys go to calls from their, wherever they're at. They don't run to the firehouse, jump in a truck and go as a group. One or two guys go in that fire truck. So that's all we need. These four-passenger, four-door trucks, that's not for us. This is a volunteer fire department. We don't have a dozen guys sleeping in the house waiting for the fire alarm. The trucks, from now on, we buy a truck, we have to pay for and get an independent mechanic that knows fire trucks to go inspect it. Not send somebody from a golf course that works on lawnmowers. I'm just so fed up with the money we've wasted on equipment because we made very poor purchases. And I think about my everyday life. If I were to go buy something, would I just go buy it without any kind of inspection, not knowing anything about it? I'm just real disappointed. And every time the chief changed, we need new trucks. We've had three chiefs and every the same line every time. We need new trucks. The trucks aren't no good. But what's the farthest they're going to respond? 10 miles? I mean, how many miles are on these trucks? I see the fuel we spend, $12,000 or so a year in fuel, to run around Holiday Island. I'm not on board to spend $450,000 for a new fire truck. That's another issue I have is every department head that comes in here and needs something, it's always got to be brand new. We don't need a brand new fire truck. What's wrong with one that's 4 years old?
Randy, we don't have enough fires actually in Holiday Island.
Well, yeah.
And we could run those pickups, like the rescue calls and things. I mean, we don't have to drive fire truck to dinner every day. You know, I mean, they get more miles driving them down the road to go to the cafe than they do on going to fires.
Well, over 80% of our calls are medical. They're not fire calls.
Yeah. 90%.
I just wanted to vent what I had to say about these fire trucks because it goes on and on and on. It's costed Heisen hundreds of thousands of dollars because of poor decision making. And I blame it's partially the board's fault. Why? We didn't hire an expert to go look at these trucks. An expert would have said, yeah, this truck in Los Angeles is great on flat freeways, but it's way underpowered to go climb the hills in the Ozarks. That just doesn't make sense to me. Why have we even bought a truck that can't climb a hill?
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page, Randy, because we talked about this last week as well. We talked about it when we're working on the budget for this year, of what we need to have an inspector that does it too, which is why we didn't even add, like our current budget, we tabled and took it off buying a fire truck because we wanted to hear what the new fire chief has to say and let him have time.
Well,
and
I think the truck that we have sitting over here, that's been here for 3 years, first off, this lame excuse about the title, we can get a title. We need to hire an expert to come over and look at it and tell us how much is it worth.
Some
guy wants to buy it, shell out for $2,500, and next week he'll sell it for $10,000. We don't know that.
Don't disagree.
I just think if we're going to sell it, we need to find out what it's worth. We throw stuff on Purple Wave, and we're giving stuff away at pennies on the dollar. When you look back and see what we paid for this stuff, and then what we sell it for 3 or 4 or 5 years later, it's ridiculous. You wouldn't run your own personal account that way. You're going to sell your car or whatever.
I never even heard we had another truck sitting down there for 3 years.
Well, we went on the tour 2 years ago to the
Yep.
Sewer department, water department, we did all, that truck was sitting there then and it's still sitting there.
Oh, that's right, it was.
Yeah.
I asked them about it, they said, well, we just don't use it right now.
Well, I guess my main question is, has anyone attempted to get a new title?
It doesn't sound like it, that's not.
All they do is keep saying that the title's missing, lost, stolen, whatever. Has anybody attempted to get one? And whose responsibility is that?
I would think it'd be the DM's responsibility.
Well, either the district manager or the fire chief.
Right.
If they wanna sell a piece of equipment, we need the title. If we don't have a title, we get a duplicate made.
That's right, all you gotta do is call the state.
And jump through some hoops.
Yep.
And I think that's where the chief is now headed, because that's what we just talked about. We need a title, so now start researching that, so.
And I think when we have a title, we need to contact somebody, and I don't know who that is, but there are people that are learned mechanics that go around and do pre-buy inspections on high-dollar vehicles, namely semis. When J.B. Hunt buys used trucks, I guarantee you, they've got an expert that goes and looks at them before they buy them.
Yeah. Well, in that same token, whereas other trucks that he mentioned they were looking to sell too. So we would want the same inspector to give us an inspection on. He'll pay to have all the trucks inspected and say, hey, how are we doing right now? The same time.
Yeah. What's the condition of them? What are they worth?
Right.
So. We're relying on people that are not experts in that field. And I think as the administrators, we need to say that we have to have an expert look at it.
Absolutely.
And like I said, airlines don't send pilots to go buy airplanes. You know.
Carolyn, you said that's on.
I'm just saying that's not unreasonable. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly doable. So, you know, we can request that and move forward.
Yeah, I mean,
no more discussion.
You still want me to? I'll call Sreel in Nebraska, and I'll find that they build trucks. And I'll find out what they do. When they go buy, because they trade fire trucks, and they go out and inspect them before they get them in.
I'm sure they do a pre-buy inspection or something.
Sure, they do. I know they do, because we bought one from a youth.
I don't have any more about it.
Okay. All right, so that's finishing up public comments. Moving on to commissioner comments. I'll start this one off just because.
Just because.
So, our superintendent for water, Dan, reached out to Communities Unlimited. Communities Unlimited is the company that, the approved company, the state approved company that did our water rate study back in October last year. October 2024. And he was just making sure, hey, are we still good with Act 605 that went in effect July 1st? He's basically trying to make sure that we're in compliance with the state requirement that cities that have there's different city types, but we're over 1,000 meters, so we fall under, every 5 years, we have to have a water rate study. That dictates what we can charge, what we have reserved, all that. But we, the board, at the time, had that water rate study done through Communities Unlimited. So Communities Unlimited reached out to the state. ANRC, I'm not sure exactly, the Natural Resource Division, basically, the one that manages and is the enforcement agency over Act 605, to say, hey, how's Holiday Island? Are we good? And he goes, and I'm going to read what the response was. So the response back to our Community Unlimited was, hi, Alan. Alan's the author of our study. We received the rate study for Holiday Island. However, it was not due until 2026. If a rate study exceeds the 18-month cutoff from the date of the study, the system must either obtain a new rate study or have an approved rate study provider recertify that no significant changes have occurred or are expected to occur within the applicable five-year period. He goes, I'm happy to send an email to the water manager, which is Dan, but I wanted to check with you first to see whether you are able to complete the new study or the recertification. So Alan then let us know that they're able to, and they're going to start our updated water rate study, once Alan gets back off vacation and Rich gets back off vacation in early August, and that they have, they're paid through federal grants, so there should be no cost to us. And a new added benefit is the state has implemented new sewer rate studies that have to be done. So there's a new, this is water rate, now there's going to be sewer rate oversight and sewer rate studies that have to be done. They're going to do both of them, or the sewer rate study in conjunction with our water rate study when they come out to do it. So it's great, there's no harm on us, the state's aware of everything that's going on, it's a win-win. That'll start the clock again for 5 years from the time that these two studies are done. So I'm just getting that on the record, because depending on how long it takes to get the study, this may impact what comes up for our 2027 budget. So we don't know what that's going to look like, because this study is our Bible of what we are supposed to do for charging rates. So with that, I will open up any questions from the board or the audience.
My assumption of the sewer rate study is predicated by the new ultraviolet light system that they're implementing around the state as far as put flooring back in the lake.
It's a good assumption. I don't know that for a fact. I just know that
well, it's kind of tied. They both happen around the same time, and I'm certain the states, because all these small municipalities, including us, are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to put in a new UV light system. Mm-hmm. I think the state's coming back that we can justify raising the rate based on these new costs that everybody's incurred because of the UV light systems.
Yeah. And as far as the retail water board 8-hour course that I took earlier this month, during that training, my trainer also told me that, oh, by the way, I think in August they're expecting the vote to pass that the water rate, there's going to be a similar 8-hour required course for the board to take for the wastewater that will have to be done by the end of the year. And so it'll be a total of 16 hours that we have to take.
So maybe it's a case where, you know, we're going to turn over the roads to the city, and most of the water piping and that is in the across the road one way or the other, maybe we ought to look at turning the sewer and water over to the at the same time.
Well, I don't know about the same time.
Why not?
Because of the timing of what has to take place and the sewer bond.
Well,
and
I mean, once we turn it over, we ought to be working on that.
Oh, we already are. There's things that are being worked on, and actually that was mentioned at the last Saturday meeting by the mayor presentation. Yeah. There's time, he's got a proposed, and we have approved it, a proposed plan. I sent an email to the board this morning directly, and I'm sure I'm going to get FOIA'd on this. But anyway, I sent an email to the board directly with the draft regulation that I developed on, that I mentioned at the workshop last week, of the remaining 55 miles of road. It lists all the remaining roads that I'm proposing for the board to dedicate to the city with a first reading in October. So it's a draft. I sent it to you. I put in there, do not respond to me directly.
You sent that to us this morning?
Just this morning. So okay, I said, do not respond to me at all, because I don't want any FOIA. This is just from me to you, point to point, since Rich is out. I copied our attorney on it to look at it. If you have any direct feedback, get it directly to, I don't know if you have questions for Matt or Rich, one of the two, you can ask him directly. So it's be bleeding all over, whatever you need, with red pen, look at it, you know, look to see if there's anything you have any issues with. But it's basically the remaining roads And that's just the road part. As I mentioned last week, the city attorney and the mayor, and I don't know if the city council, but they drafted documents for the remaining items, i.e. The sale purchase agreement or whatever for the equipment, whatever that looks like, lease agreement for the road department since that's in Missouri, and a draft, I think, plan for how to take over personnel or offer offer something to personnel, the road personnel, for a hiring package, those kind of things. That package is with our attorney, Matt Bishop, right now looking over. So I haven't seen any of those documents at all. I'm just, the only one that I'm sending over is to the board so that you can look at it, because again, October is gonna come pretty quick. So we'll need an October reading and make a special meeting after October for a second reading, depending on how quick we need to get it to the city council so they have enough time to vote two times or three times, whatever they need to accept the roads, before January 1st, which is when this is all planned to be taking place. So those are my two commissioner comments.
In the meantime, the board needs to decide amongst themselves, and we'll talk about it in a meeting later, but we as a board have to decide if we give the, or dedicate the road department to the city, how much we can reduce our ALP to the public. And we need to figure out what that amount is going to be. And I know there's already people mouthing off on social media that they're going to get double taxed. And it's part of their fault, because we've never talked about if we give the road department to the city, we have less in our budget, we need to credit that back on the ALBs. And how much that amount is, I don't know. But
it's roughly around 16% of our budget. So 16% of...
Well, the next question I have, then, we'll just say for argument's sake that it is 16%. Do we give back the whole 16%, or we give back 15%? Do we give it back all of it, or we keep a little something for ourselves for other things? I don't know.
And see, my thoughts are, and again, we're not voting on this, but it is commissioner comment, so we can talk.
Yeah.
My thought that I mentioned, I mentioned that whatever we do, we start with what is the actual percentage of our budget of expenses, and let's say that's the 16%, which is what I believe it is. Well, that 16% is a starting point. Then the board looks at one other factor, in my opinion. Are we going to have a cost of living allowance adjustment, because we haven't had a cost of adjustment for the last 3 years, even though inflation has been hitting us?
Right, I think the last one we had was 6 or 7%, and that's been...
That's what started the lawsuit.
Was that 3 years ago?
That's about what started the lawsuit, so yeah, it's about 3 years ago. So my point is, but we would need to publicly get on the record saying 60% of the budget, then we're proposing a cost of living, and maybe we don't. Maybe with this transition, we don't do a cost of living adjustment. We just let it rot. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. It's like, if we know we're transitioning, let's just go with what the keep it at a flat rate and just absorb the cost and do good faith, because recognizing there are going to be natural overlaps between the city and the CID, unfortunately, just because of transition. There's going to be hiccups. So let's credit that in and not add on a cost. My personal opinion is not add in a cost adjustment. What is the 2026 AOB? And take whatever we're doing for the road and reduce that amount. And that's where I'm coming from. But again, let's not vote on it. But think about this, and then we need to talk about it at our next workshop. So can you make a note of that as a topic to talk about? And let's talk about it so everybody can have, because Nicole's not here, and you can have time to think about it, look at your percentages, make sure that we're all the same percentage of what it is, because I'm going to want an exact percentage so that we don't have a lawsuit. Well, it was 16.25 whatever, that's where I, you know, whatever it is for our budget, and have our accountant say this is your percentage of the budget exactly. That way we have a neutral party, and it's not the board. We can say here's what our accountant says our percentage of our expenses of our budget is for roads. I think that's the fairest way. It takes it out of ours, and whatever that number comes at, we reduce it across all property types. Every property type.
It has to be a percentage.
A percentage across every property type, and leave it alone, and then move on. And that way, if we've taken care of roads, we'll have a good faith effort that we were reducing it based on the city taking it over, because you're going to have a property, you already have a property tax. So,
I talked to Dan last week, and he said that our attorneys had this, and we should get a copy of it this week.
Okay.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but We also have to deal with all the equipment and real estate that goes with it.
Well, I talked to that, unlike what I, what the chief, fire chief said, I talked to Mike Barnett, and he was at, I mean, Enbridge. They had it down to the inventory, down to the nuts and bolts. So that inventory will be a good attachment to whatever agreement. It'll be, here's our sales, whatever that is. And we don't even know. Are we doing, again, I'm not getting that ahead of attorneys. I haven't seen anything. So I'm not touching what these documents look like.
I think another thing as we're going to turn this, all this property over to the city, eventually everything's going to get turned over. I think we ought to have the golf course. We had to find an evaluation of what it's worth, because I see us eventually maybe selling the golf course to a private individual and let them operate it as a private business. I'm sure the city's going to look at that otherwise. We could have some pre-planning ahead to at least find out what it's worth.
According to our financials, it's worth $1.3 million.
What? If the golf course is worth a lot more than that.
Well, as an asset,
yeah,
it's worth $1.3 million.
But if you were going to sell it, I'm sure we could get a lot more money. And we, if we sold it and somebody kept it, we, in the contract, would be asked to be kept as a golf course. And secondly, that we could maybe turn the money back over to the property owners that where it came from. And give them the money back if it's going to be operated correctly.
Okay.
That's the only thing I got.
Okay. Something to think about. Any other commissioner comments? Okay. Not hearing any. The last agenda item is agenda scheduling. So this is August. I show the BOC work session being on the 17th. And the regular meeting on the 24th. Is that everybody agree with that one?
Sometime in August, I'm going to be gone for about 4 or 5 days. Toward the end of the month, we have, my wife has some kind of reunion for their family in Omaha.
Okay. Well,
so I'll let you know.
Yeah, let Rich know. And then if it turns out that Nicole can't get there or something, as long as the three of us are here, we'll be okay. If it gets too tight, we might need to reschedule.
Right.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Then move to second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting is adjourned.